I am most grateful and deeply happy to be with all of you this evening. My special gratitude to all of our very esteemed guests who were on the dais and who spoke so eloquently, to the staff of KIIT University for hosting this event, and to all of you for giving your precious time to be with us this evening. Odisha is one of the most holy places within our creation. Bhuvaneshwar, the eternal abode of Sri Bhuvaneshwar Shiva, and Puri, the eternal home of Jagannath. As our esteemed guests were speaking, I was reflecting on this concept of the journey home. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us the internal meaning of the Rath Yatra. One of the most powerfully celebrated ceremonies in the history of mankind that takes place every year. He explained how Jagannath, the Lord of creation, he comes out of his home, Jagannath Temple, which represents Dwarka, to come to Gundicha, which represents Vrindavan. Today, the King of Puri was telling how Jagannath first appeared in the area where the Gundicha temple is. So Rath Yatra is bringing Jagannath home. Home back to Vrindavan, where is his most intimate family and his most loving devotees. And my beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he explained that for Jagannath, it's his journey home back to Vrindavan. And for a devotee, as we're pulling the ropes or carrying along with the procession, the idea is we are bringing Jagannath back home into our hearts. Jagannath means the Lord of the universe. Vedanta Sutra tells us that janmadyasa yataha, that the absolute truth or God is the source of everything and everyone that exists. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. The source of all material and spiritual worlds, Krishna says that he is. Aham bija pratapita. Jagannath tells us that he's the supreme father and mother of every living entity. Suhridam sarvabhutanam. And that Lord is the most intimate, loving friend for everyone. Ishvara sarvabhutanam hriday sherjuna tishtati. And that Lord is living within our hearts. Anandamayo byashat. Every living being is looking for pleasure, for fulfillment, from the insignificant ant, even to the great devas, Brahma, and others. Whatever our caste, whatever our religion, whatever our race, whatever our age, whatever our species, everyone is seeking pleasure. And the source of that pleasure is the natural love between the Atma, the soul, and the Paramatma, the Supreme Soul, Jagannath. And we are wandering. We are wandering through so many different species of life, through so many different planets and many universes, trying to find that pleasure that's within our own hearts. This material energy is full of unlimited distractions, trying to promise us that fulfillment that our heart is yearning for through so many things that are perishing. Kamala dala jala jivana talamala. The nature of everything in this world, the great poet Govinda Das said, like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. It's there for a moment, and at any time, it can slip away. But the permanent happiness, fulfillment that we're all seeking is to reconnect with God's love, with Jagannath's love, and to reciprocate by offering our love. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that is the meaning of the Rath Yatra. To bring that love of Jagannath and our love for Jagannath back to our awareness. By bringing the Lord back into our heart. The Lord's always in our heart. But by remembering that and living according to that remembrance. That is what everyone is looking for. This book, The Journey Home, as was said by our esteemed scholar and poet, I never wanted to write it. But my dearest friend, Bhakti Tirtha Swami, when he was on his deathbed, just days before he passed from this world, he made me promise to write it. Because he said, this is not your story. This is God's story. A message that God wants to tell the world. How a young, confused boy like you, who was seeking the very same thing everyone is seeking, essentially, was brought through a journey in quest of real meaning and fulfillment in life. I was a teenager when I began this journey. I was brought up in the United States of America. The 1950s and 60s were very turbulent times in America. Economically, things were thriving like never before. But there was a Cold War between America and Russia. And both had massive nuclear bombs pointed at each other. And both were consistently threatening to destroy each other. And the people of America lived in fear of nuclear war. At the same time, there was a war going on in Vietnam. And thousands and thousands of young people were being forced against their will to fight in a war that we did not believe in. At the same time, we're pledging allegiance to our flag, that this is one nation, indivisible, with freedom and justice for all. But we saw, if you had a different color skin, black skin, dark brown skin, you are condemned to live in the ghetto without proper education for your whole life. Constitutionally, you had all rights, but socially, practically none. We were asking serious questions. And we were told, if you just get a good education and just become famous and healthy and have a nice family and make a lot of money, you'll be happy. But it all seemed like such hypocrisy. There must be something meaningful, something deeper than all of this. So like so many millions of people in my generation, I revolted. But after some time, I realized that what my generation was revolting against, we had the same problems. The problems of ego, the problems of greed. And I heard the words of Mahatma Gandhi, "We have to be the change we want to see in this world." And I realized, unless we have a foundational spiritual change in our own lives, unless we revive our connection to God, we cannot really revive our connection with each other in a substantial and real way. So I went on a spiritual quest. Had no money. Somehow or other, somebody helped me get to Europe. I was studying my own family's religion, Judaism, deeper than ever. Studying Christianity in cathedrals and monasteries. Reading books of the East from great yogis and sages and lamas. Trying to find, what is the essence of this thing called religion? What is this religion? We're taught about a loving God, but we see so much hatred and killing in the name of God. I was sick of fanaticism. I was sick of sectarianism. I was pretty much sick of religion. But I had a choice. Either I reject it, or there must be something divine that's at the essence of all these great spiritual paths. And I believed in the core of my heart that there was, and I was searching for that. And I was finding it in all these great spiritual paths. Ultimately, I was living on an island of Greece in a cave on a mountain. And I was weeping and praying to God, please show me my way. And I heard a voice. That voice called me to India. I didn't know where India was. I never met an Indian, never ate Indian food, had no map, but I believed if I just hitchhike east, someday I'll arrive in India. And after 6 months overland, I came to the border of India and was rejected by the immigration agent because I didn't have money. She told me, go home. I said, I'm looking for my home. India's my home, just let me come home. She said, no, go back to where you came from. And I pleaded and I cried, and ultimately, if you read the book, you'll learn that somehow I got in and went to the Himalayas. And my first day in the Himalayas, I was sitting alone on the bank of the Ganges, and a sadhu approached me out of the forest, and told me to take off all my Western clothes. I only had one set that I was wearing. I had nothing else. He said, offer your clothes to Mother Ganga, and I will give you the robes of a sadhu. I said, what is a sadhu? I never heard the word. He said, a sadhu is a wandering, homeless person seeking truth. And I thought, that fits me quite well. So, so I put my clothes in the Ganga, and he gave me robes just like this, but white in color. And I wandered through the Himalayas. And I remember one time around Dev Prayag, I lived with a yogi of the name Kailash Baba. He was probably in his late 60s, although people told me he was a couple hundred years old. He had left home when he was about 12 years old and was living as a homeless wanderer in the Himalayan forest since then. He was a huge man. And he taught me how to live as a sadhu in the jungle. Now, I went to American primary school, secondary school, high school. I even went to a semester of college. But I never learned so much as I learned from this Kailash Baba up till that point. He told me how to survive in the jungle. This was practical. What foods you can eat. What berries, what leaves, what fruits, what roots, and what you cannot eat. What medicines you can find. How to live among my neighbors. There was leopards, panthers, wild elephants, boars, cobras, vipers, scorpions, lots of mosquitoes. Now, this was a very different environment than the suburbs of Chicago. He taught me that if you think yourself better than them, or if you have the slightest fear of them, they will kill you. You have to see the common essence. You have to see them as your brothers and your sisters and respect them. This is a teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmane gabihastini suni sachaiva swapake cha pandita samadarshana. What is true knowledge? True knowledge is to see every living being with equality. To not see just the body. We have different races, we have different castes, we have different religions, we have different sects, we have different species. But the source of life is the Atma, the soul. When the soul leaves the body, it's just a shell of a corpse. It's the Atma that's the true self. And when we understand who we are, then we can see that same spiritual essence within all other living beings. Najayate mriyate vakadachet. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death. It is Satchitananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Mamaivam so jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana. Every living being is a part of God, a part of Krishna. We must see every being as a child of God. That is enlightenment. That is real spirituality. And it was a test to see it in these apparently ferocious creatures I was living with. But you know something? Because Kailash Baba had such realization, because he respected and honored every creature of the forest, and because he was totally fearless in doing it, just by being with him, I actually became fearless. Of course, course, when I wasn't near him, I became fearful again. Interestingly, he didn't speak a word of English, and I didn't speak Hindi. He taught me all these things in a mystical way, because he really deeply cared about me, and I deeply wanted to learn from him because he cared about me so much. This transmission of knowledge came between us. As I traveled, in course of time, by a power so much beyond my own, I came to Varanasi. I was on my way to Kashmir, to Amarnath, for a pilgrimage, because I was told all my desires will be fulfilled there. And I prayed at the Kashi Vishwanath temple, please show me my path. I've met so many people and I've heard of so many different religious ways, but what is my way to follow? I was crying, begging, show me my path. And I felt something within my heart. Lord Shiva revealing, this is my feeling, that my path would be revealed. I thought it would be in Amarnath. But somehow or other, I was on a train, third class, riding for free, and I got stranded in a place that I didn't know where I was, and the train left without me. It was dark, 5 a.m. And I asked Asadu, where am I? And he said, this is Mathura, Krishna's birthplace. And today is Janmashtami, Krishna's birthday. When I wanted to leave Vrindavan, I got typhoid fever and couldn't leave. And after some time, I was so charmed by the path of bhakti, by the concept of Sri Radha, the feminine power of pure love, and Krishna, the all-inclusive concept of God being all attractive, all beautiful, and who reciprocates intimately with the love of his devotees. This charmed my heart so deeply that I decided that I have found my home in Vrindavan. And I slept under a kadamba tree on the bank of the Yamuna and resolved to spend the rest of my life there. After about 5 months, Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan with a small group of people. And I was going to so many of the yogis and babaji and gurus and sadhus' talks in Vrindavan and meeting them. So I went to Prabhupada's also. I remember something he said. It really struck me, because I was seeing people who had cameras and tape recorders and kind of nice clothes. I saw that I was thinking they are in such illusion. Because I just had this one little pair of clothes I was wearing. I was sleeping on the riverbank. I had no possessions except a begging pot. And I kind of had an ego. They just see how renounced I am. And these people, look at how many nice things they have. So I was judging them. But then Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture, he explained how the whole world around us is spiritual if we understand its relationship with God or Krishna. When we forget a thing's connection to Krishna, that is material. Janasya Mahamameti. When we think in terms of I am this body and these things of the world are mine, that is illusion. but Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. When we understand everything's the property of God, then we understand the truth. We can use this microphone. We could use wealth. We could use our education. We can get a bachelor's degree, a master's degree, a PhD. We could be industrialists like Mr. Muffetlal. We can open universities. We could be in business. We could be in politics. We can even be swamis. The point is, if we utilize the gifts that we have in seva, in unselfish devotional service to the Supreme Lord, then we spiritualize everything. This is great wealth of what I have discovered here in the land of India. Such a profound philosophy and social culture of how to integrate every aspect of life into yoga, into dharma, into our spiritual path. That's the message of the Gita. And that's the greatest need in the world today. You see, our tendency, this ego of I and mine, we use it even in the name of our religions. I'm better than you, my guru's better than yours, my spiritual path is better than yours. The real question is, how is our hearts being transformed? To actually love God and love others. Srila Prabhupada was explaining this, and that message gave me a whole new dimension. And that's when I decided I wanted to dedicate my life to assist him in sharing this love for Jagannath with the world. Of course, my visa expired, so I had to leave India at that point. At about a year later. But you know something? When I went back to the West, I was sitting in the back porch of my mother and father's house. This was sometime in 1972. And I realized that if I'm remembering my Lord Jagannath in my heart, and if I'm seeing this as Jagannath's property and living in a spirit of seva and chanting his holy names, then this is Vrindavan too. Home is within our own hearts. If we can find our home within our hearts, if we find that Vrindavan, that loving relationship with Jagannath within our hearts, then we will feel and see home everywhere we are, beyond death. Life is a journey home. Thank you very much.